Let's pray. Our God and our Father, we come to you in this moment thanking you for all that you are. Thank you for what you're speaking in this time. Thank you for what you're doing. We lift up to you all of those all around the world, all around our country, even in our own backyard, who stand in need of you, who stand in need of your mercy, and stand in need of your grace. And I pray that you would use us as your people, use us as your church to extend those helping hands to them, as well as to extend the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, Lord, in these next few moments, stand in my body and think with my mind and speak with my tongue. Cause us to hear the truth that will transform us as we seek to be the church that you are molding and shaping and releasing in these days and in these times. I pray that you would give me the clarity to speak what I believe is your heart, according to your word, to these your people, to the end that some soul would be saved, some life transformed, the light bulb might come on for somebody, that we might operate in obedience and integrity with what you're calling for us to be in these days and in these times. Lord, we love you. We bless you. We magnify you. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, listen, I'm still sharing my heart, this whole idea of being committed and connected. People, I told you, pastors and prognosticators and bishops and whoever else all around the world are trying to figure out what is the church supposed to do? How do we make this pivot? Where are we supposed to be in these days and times with, you're talking about hurricanes and storms, you're talking about wars and rumors of war, you're talking about pandemic being let loose in the country and across the world. What is the church supposed to be? And I believe that God has kind of shown me from the text that we worked on last week. We're going to work on it again some more. So meet me in Acts chapter 8. Acts chapter 8, beginning at verse 1. Now remember, we pick up the story right at the end of Stephen being stoned. And the Bible says, now Saul was consenting to Stephen's death. At that time, a great persecution arose against the church, which was at Jerusalem, and they were all scattered throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. And devout men, committed men, carried Stephen to his burial and made great lamentation over him. As for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering every house and dragging off men and women, committing them to prison. Therefore, those who were scattered went everywhere preaching the word. Now, I kind of talked about this last week, and I want to kind of dig into this idea of the church both gathered and scattered. Remember, we talked about that the church is not a building, it's not a geographical location, but being the church is an identity. It's those who have been brought into relationship with God through Jesus Christ and by his Spirit. We're not only brought into relationship with him, but with each other, and we represent his body, his family, his people, his identity in the earth. We talked about how in this passage of scripture, that this persecution arose, and this time of persecution, almost like this time of pandemic, how it caused the entity that was birthed on the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2, this people who were the called out ones, the people of God who were at Jerusalem, it caused them to have to make some tough decisions. Some people, despite the risks of going to jail, of being killed, of their children and their families being separated, they decided to continue to gather despite the risks. We know that because the Bible talks about how Saul has to go from house to house. They were having meetings and fellowshipping with each other from house to house. And he was going to those houses and using snitches and using all kinds of information to find out who they were and trying to drag them off to prison. But then there were some who made decisions to stay away from Jerusalem, to stay away from public gathering for the issue of safety. There were those who were the gathered church, but then there were those who were the scattered church. And remember, and I told you that scripture, nowhere do we see in the book of Acts, nowhere do we see in the New Testament, nowhere do we see that scripture, that God himself is somehow treating the people who chose to scatter, to be the church scattered. It's not as if they operated in fear. It's not as if they made a bad decision. It's not as if they fell away from the faith. No. It actually, whether the church was gathered or the church scattered, both entities, both groups were fulfilling the will of God. because, again, if we're going to be God's people, if we're going to be the church, we have to operate with a sense of unity. Because in these days and times, some folks will make a decision when we get to that point of being able to gather again in public. Some folks are going to do it despite the risks. Now, we'll do all that we can to be safe, but some will choose to gather. Some will choose because of caring for a loved one or because their children, because whatever it might be, they would choose to stay away. If we're going to be the one church, we can't look down on each other or make judgment calls of each other based upon the decisions that we make, because either decision can still fulfill the will of God. Because if we're going to be that church, we have to be a committed church. We have to be a connected church in the sense that, first of all, we have to operate under the same vision. We have to operate under the same vision. We have to have a commitment to being the people of God in the places that he sent us. Now, what's interesting is, if you remember the story in Acts 1:8, Jesus tells them, I want you to take this gospel, start in Jerusalem, spread out to the region of Judea, move over across ethnic lines to Samaria, and ultimately take this to every part of the world. And that's how they started, but then somewhere along the line, the church got involved in trying to keep it together and to make it happen and to overcome issues and to overcome people rubbing each other the wrong way and conflicts and things that happened, and the church was centered and was stuck on Jerusalem. And so it's almost as if, not almost as if, God sends this pandemic, this persecution. Because you'll notice that verse 1 says that when this persecution breaks out, that they were all scattered throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria. They had stopped in Jerusalem, but now was used by God to scatter them to Judea and Samaria. It's almost as if God found a way to use what was terrible to still bring about his will. And so if we're going to be one church that is committed and connected, we need to be committed and connected to the same vision to still be about the mission that God has called us to and who he's called us to be, who he's making us to be as the church. We have to stay committed and connected to that vision. But not only that, we have to stay committed and connected to the same vibe. We have to stay committed to the same vibe. The idea of the vibe is that we got to have the same flavor, whether we are the church gathered or whether we are the church scattered. In college, I used to be a tour guide. I used to work for the school, giving tours to interested students, interested families, people that would come through school groups, church groups, whatever the case might be. And one of the requirements was that you had to be in a suit and tie when you gave one of your, it could be in the middle of August. You had to be in a suit and a tie when you gave one of these tours, and you had to go through a certain amount of learning of the history and the standards and what was going on and all that kind of stuff. Because as tour guides, what we wanted to try to project was, if you met one of us, you could feel like you knew what Morehouse College was about. If you run into one of us, then you know what we're all like. If we're going to be committed to the same vibe, it has to be like that for us. We have to have the same values. We have to value the same things. Now, remember, as a church, our values are being biblical, balanced, and beneficial. That's what drives us. That's what rules us. And we need to be that, whether we are the church gathered or whether we are those who are part of the church scattered. We have to have the same values. We have to have the same vocabulary. We have to be able to talk the same. We have to be able to say the same things. When we have the same values, when we have the same vocabulary, amazing things happen. Let me kind of show you this real quickly. Notice, if you keep on reading in chapter 8, you'll run into this guy named Philip. Now, Philip was one of the seven deacons who was chosen along with Stephen back in chapter 6. But if you notice, Philip becomes one of those who was scattered. Because he shows up in verse 5 of chapter 8, and he's preaching Jesus. And as he goes about preaching Jesus, he connects with people in Samaria, and he preaches to Jesus to them. Some get saved. They then get baptized. They get identified with the body of Christ. And then it shows this series of one-on-one interactions with Philip has with other people, whether that's with Simon the sorcerer or whether that's the Ethiopian official. There's these one-on-one interactions that Philip has. And he wants to make sure that in whatever case, in the interaction with those individuals, they have an encounter and a growing experience with the Holy Spirit. Those were the values. That was the vibe that he gave as one who represented the church scattered. But now you'll also notice that Peter and John, Peter especially, shows up also in chapter 8. And then we chase them into Peter into chapter 10 when he has this interaction with Cornelius. Again, in those encounters with Peter and John, they preach Christ. You'll see that in chapter 8, verse 25, and in chapter 10, verse 36. There is this bringing folks who make a decision into baptism, again, identification with Christ. You'll see that in chapter 10, verse 47. There's these one-on-one interactions, again, with Simon as well as with Cornelius. You'll see that in chapter 10, verse 26, and in verse 48 of chapter 10. And then there is this encounter and this growing experience with the Holy Spirit that Peter leaves with them in chapter 8, verse 17, and in chapter 10, verse 47. It's two different guys, one from the gathered church, one from the scattered church, same values, same vocabulary, same vibe. You'll see it with Ananias. When Saul runs into Ananias in chapter 9, Ananias will show up in verse 17 and he'll preach Jesus. And he'll make sure that Paul is coming to a point of faith in Jesus Christ so that then he would then be baptized in verse 18 of chapter 9. He's identified with the body of Christ. Through this one-on-one interaction that starts in verse 17, now Saul has this growing experience and in this encounter with the Holy Spirit in verses 17 through 18. The same value, the same vibes, the same vocabulary produces the same things. It's whether it was the church gathered or whether it was the church scattered, they sound the same. If you met one, it was as if you knew everybody else. If we're going to be that church, we have to have the same vibe. Not only that, same vision, not only that, same vibe, but we have to have the same vocation. If you'll study the church scattered, that's chapter 8, chapter 9, chapter 10, you'll notice that they will have the same vocation, the same calling. That's the word vocation deals with, is the idea of calling. The same calling on the church gathered was on the church scattered. And that is that we've all been called to make disciples. Jesus gave us one mission. He told us to go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing in the name of the Father and Son and Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe whatever I have taught, Jesus says. He says that's our role. Whether you are the church gathered, whether you are the church scattered, whatever decision you make, we've got to have the same calling. We've got to have the same vocation. We have to be about the same thing. Because if we're going to be this one church, we have to be committed and connected in the same ways, even if we don't see each other week in and week out. Philippians 2, Paul says it like this: fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, having the same mind. That's being on the same page, vision-wise, vibe-wise, and even vocation-wise. Why is that? Because if we're going to be Jesus's church in these days and in these times, we have to live up to what he prayed for about us. In John 17:11, Jesus prays as he's in the Garden of Gethsemane on his way to the cross. He prays for us. He says, Father, make them one that like we are one. But his prayer was that they may be as one as we are. We've got to sound the same, whether we're the ones who choose to gather or whether we are those who have been scattered, who have made safety decisions. We've got to sound the same. We've got to be about the same things. We've got to talk the same. We've got to have the same goal in mind, to preach Jesus and him crucified, and then bring people into what it means to know him, to build a relationship with him, to walk with him, and then to represent him to the world so that when you see one of us, you've seen all of us. And with that in mind, making that transition, that's why even in this virtual space, we pause to celebrate the Lord's Supper, because it's one of the unifying aspects of being a part of the body of Christ, being about being a part of Team Jesus. The Bible says that Jesus, he prayed that prayer of unity over them because he recognized if we're going to be his ambassadors to the world, We've got to make sure that we do it not in our own strength, not even in our own vibe, but we've got to operate as one with Him. And so that's why it's very interesting that the Bible says that He took bread. He took bread, He blessed it. He broke it before He gave it to them. He says, "This represents my body, which will be broken for you." Isn't it interesting that it's Jesus broken that brings us together as one? And so I'm going to ask, as you gather your stuff, as you hand them out to your family, let's spend a moment in prayer. Let's pray over these elements. Let's pray over this time that we would fulfill Jesus' prayer requests, that even in this time of pandemic, even in this time of virtual worship, that we will be one. Won't you pray for me? Lord Jesus, we recognize that You prayed for us before You even got to the cross, that You knew what it would take to be about Your business, that we'd have to be of the same mind, we'd have to have the same love, we'd have to talk the same, we'd have to have the same value system, we'd have to be about the laser focus of making disciples. And so, Lord, I pray that in these next few moments that You would forgive us of our sins of selfishness, of divisiveness, of looking out and thinking only of ourselves, that You would wash us, that You would make us clean, that You would take our self-made righteousness, which is like a pile of garbage to You, You would remove all of that and give us the righteousness that is in Jesus Christ. We thank You for what He has done. We thank You for who He is. We thank You for this time now to reconnect with You and with each other in this time of Holy Communion. Bless these elements as they stand for the body and the blood of Christ. And as we remember Him in us, rejoin us as Your people to You and to one another and to the calling to make disciples. In Jesus' name, amen. The Bible says He took bread, He blessed it, He broke it. He said, "This represents my body, which is broken for you." Let's take and eat together. In the same way, the Bible says He took the cup, He blessed it, took a sip out of it before He passed it to them. He said, "This represents my blood, shed for the remission, for the taking away, the removing of your sin." Our sin has been taken away, so there are no excuses now for us not to be, whether gathered or scattered, one body in Christ. Let's take and drink together. Now, Paul teaches, when we have come together as one body in Christ, when we have rightly observed the sacrifice, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus on our behalf, the power exists to reverse the curse. And so, for those who may be suffering in their bodies, the physical pain issues that maybe even the doctors don't know what they are, it's a point of contact. Stretch your hand toward your device, toward your TV screen. And I want to pray, based upon what Jesus did on the cross, by the stripes laid on Him, I declare that we stand in healing, that You stand in wholeness, that He is putting you back together again, that He is mending the broken and the bent pieces so that we could be who He's called us to be in these last and evil days. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we declare healing right now. We thank You, O God, for what our Savior has done. Not only did He make us, not only did He put us together, not only did He knit us together in our mother's wombs, not only did He make these bodies, but He knows how to fix them. He has already paid the price. He has already given the best healing balm, the best vaccination ever, the blood of Jesus, which we claim right now over every disease, over every issue, over high blood pressure, over blood sugar regulation, over gout, over pain, over chronic pain, over cancer, over sugar diabetes. In the name of Jesus, we declare and we decree healing and wholeness for the people of God who stand as His people, as one body in Christ. Let it be done and let it be so. In Jesus' name, Amen. Somebody ought to give God praise because of their healing, to be one body, whether gathered or scattered, that we could be one church about Jesus' business.